Today's reading is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 2, the whole chapter, from the NIV. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown, except by competing according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarrelling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hermias and Philetus, who have departed from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes, and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed, in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. God give us understanding of his word. Amen.
Thank you, Josie.
Have you ever received an encouraging letter? Perhaps from someone close to you. Did you keep it? I must admit that somewhere up in my loft is a box, and in that box I know are all the letters my now wife wrote to me when she was my girlfriend. I think there's another box. I think in there are all the letters that I wrote to her. But you tend to keep letters like that, don't you? Well, this morning I want us to look at a part of a wonderful letter written by Paul to Timothy. Paul, See, the relationship that Paul was with Timothy was very close. It was like a father-son relationship. And Paul saw himself as Timothy's spiritual father. It seems more likely that Timothy was brought to Christ through Paul, although Paul reminds Timothy that it was the teaching of his mother and his grandmother that gave him, as he was growing up, that was such a good basis for what he was later to take up for himself. Message to those of us who are parents or indeed grandparents. Even being grandparents, we can be involved in teaching our grandchildren about the gospel. And Timothy's own faith grew through watching, listening, and serving God with Paul. And in the Bible, as you know, we have two letters written by Paul to Timothy. The first was written while Paul was on a missionary journey to Timothy, who at the time was in Ephesus. We think that was written at a time when Paul was out on a missionary journey. He'd been to Rome, he was in prison, he was released, he went on a missionary journey, he came back and was imprisoned again. So this second letter we're looking at this morning was written while Paul was in prison in Rome. And he's expecting that his life is about to be cut short soon. He's preparing to meet his Lord. He doesn't think he has long left. So he wants to make sure that the ministry given to him will continue after his death, when he was no longer going to be around to drive it forward. He wants Timothy to pick it up. He's expecting to be put to death because of his faith, his proclamation that Jesus is his Lord and not Caesar. And Paul wants to encourage Timothy to persevere. They've shared so much. Timothy has accompanied Paul on many of his missionary journeys. He's heard Paul preaching the gospel. Timothy has served in an apprenticeship. And he's heard Paul teaching others, and Timothy has also been a great encouragement to Paul and a faithful servant of God, as Paul has seen Timothy grow in faith. And in the first chapter, which we didn't read today, Paul reminds Timothy that he was called by God. He was anointed by Paul. And when Paul laid hands on Timothy, God gave him a gift, the gift which God wants all of us to receive, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God living in us. And that gift comes by God's grace and received by faith. He has been called. He has been equipped. And so Paul encourages Timothy to persevere in service. And secondly, Timothy's call is to testify about our Lord and not to be ashamed. Back in chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, he says, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner." Timothy is to guard and protect the truth. And Paul wants to pass on the baton to him, and that Timothy would pass it on to reliable and tested teachers, to appoint faithful leaders in the church, faithful to God's word. And Timothy is to persevere. See, for the Christian, the word persevere is so important. It's not a one-off thing. It's a life involving faith. We persevere to grow in maturity in Christ. So as Paul is facing his death, Paul wants to encourage Timothy. The relationship's been precious. And as Paul has seen Timothy grow to maturity, now he wants to prepare him for the tasks ahead. One of the tasks ahead is that the church is under fire. The pressures are going to be great. And it would be no good Timothy relying on having the strength himself, or even relying on Paul. Timothy needs to depend on that gift that he's been given. Timothy needs to rely on the Holy Spirit working through him, through faith and trust in the Spirit's power. And so we come to chapter 2 that we're going to look at in a bit more detail. And Paul renews the appeal to Timothy to be loyal to the gospel. And Paul gives three short pictures of what service to the gospel is like. And the first picture is the picture of a soldier. In verse 3, he says, "Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus." Now, the picture of Christians as Christ's soldiers seems to be a little bit less popular now than it was many years ago. Onward Christian soldiers seems to have somehow dropped off of our to-be-sung list. And a large part of that is due to people objecting to the idea that Christians should fight. And partly that's due to the reaction to the historic fact that Christians in times past have gone to fight against different religions, particularly Islam. And indeed, the Pope has apologized to Islam for the holy wars, as they put it. However, the picture of the Christian as a soldier is one that Paul uses a lot. And the fundamental thing we need to remember is that as a soldier of Jesus Christ, our struggle is not against any of our fellow human beings. Our struggle is against the power and the influence of the evil one. Our fight is not a physical one. Our fight is a spiritual one. And indeed, if you read the Bible, you'll know that our weapons are the sword of the Spirit, and the shield and the helmet and all these things that Paul uses as his pictures. A picture of being a soldier. And there are some aspects of being a soldier that apply to us as a Christian, and it's these that Paul is encouraging Timothy to consider. The first is that every Christian must expect some measure of ill treatment, as every soldier does. Well, why is that? Well, being a soldier means that the personal interests and needs of the individual soldier have to be subservient to the orders he receives. Anyone serving as a soldier has to be single-minded. They have to be focused. They have to stick at it, whatever happens. You wouldn't have much of an army if, you know, one morning the commanding officer said, "Right, out on the parade ground," and someone said, "No, I think I'll just stay in bed. I don't feel like it today." Can you imagine? That's not how it is, is it? As somebody once told me, when your commanding officer tells you to jump, there's only one question, and that's how high. And you see, the duty as a soldier has to be a higher demand than all their other affairs. Their only duty is to please their commanding officer. As Paul says here, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. And our commanding officer is Christ. There is nothing more important, says Paul, than doing what Christ wants us to do. We must allow nothing else to entangle us, to get in the way of serving our commanding officer. We're to serve Christ. We are Christ's soldiers. And the second picture he uses is of an athlete. And again, Paul in his letters often uses the analogy of us running the race as an athlete. And Paul uses this analogy of us training as an athlete. Athletes have to train and have to be disciplined in their total lifestyles. Christians do as athletes. They have to be dedicated. And as with the soldier, they have to be focused, not on the battle, but on the race, pressing on, aiming for the finishing line, as we know from many of Paul's other letters. He's always talking about pressing on, pressing on. But slightly differently here to the usual way in which Paul talks about running the race, here he focuses on keeping the rules. Well, we, of course, are very used to hearing about the many cases in which sports people are required to keep the rules. Maybe we think that strict rules, especially around drugs, are a modern invention. Actually, there's evidence that even in the Olympic Games of Paul's time, only professionals were allowed to compete. And to be professional, the athlete had to state on oath that he had fulfilled the necessary training before he was allowed to compete. I did say he. In those times, athletes were only allowed to be men. And perhaps that's a good thing after what they... Anyway, there were penalties for any athlete who infringed the rules. If any of you, like me, follow Formula One, you might have seen that a few weeks ago the Formula One controlling authorities fined Mercedes. I think it was €25,000 because Lewis Hamilton was wearing a nose stud during qualifying at the Singapore Grand Prix, which is against the rules. You might think they're silly rules, you might not understand the rules, but in sport you follow the rules. And the point Paul is making to Timothy here is that we need to stick to the rules fixed by the life and teaching of Christ. The race we are running is a race of life, and we need to follow what Christ has taught. This, as we shall see in a few moments, was vital for Timothy to stick to Christ's teaching in the light of the false teachers who were in the church at Ephesus. If we're an athlete, says Paul, we have to stick to the rules. And the rules are what Christ has taught us. And the third picture is one of a hard-working farmer. Now, Paul clearly expected that Timothy would have to toil. Following Christ is not an easy option. We have to work at it. Like with the soldier and with the athlete, being a farmer is not an easy option. I'm sure you've often heard it said, you know, the farmer turns over in bed in the morning and says, "No, I don't think I'll bother to milk the cows this morning." Or, you know, "The sun's shining, I need to get out there and cut the crops, I'll do it tomorrow." That's not how life is on a farm. You have to work at it. A point that Paul also makes here is that those who serve in the church should receive remuneration from those they serve. Perhaps doesn't apply to you just at the moment, but it's a point we need to remember when we have our discussions about ministers' salaries in our church meetings. I'll leave that one with you. See, these three pictures, the farmer, the athlete, the soldier, emphasise the need to work for the gospel. The Christian life, just as Christ has said it would be, is not an easy one. We need to endure, and in some ways we suffer. And Paul, as he reminds Timothy, is physically in chains. As always, though, Paul did not see the chains as stopping God's work. Paul didn't see the chains as stopping what God has called him to do. How often I ask myself, do I find a reason why I can't do a particular thing for God? I've got so many other things to do. I've got this, I've got that. I can't do this week. I can't do that this week. I've got to fit this in. I've got to fit that in. See, Paul would have no excuses. If he was in chains, then he still had work that he could do. God's work would not be hindered, even by Paul's chains. And Paul gives us the most compelling reason for why he endures. Find it in verse 10 of this chapter. "Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Look, says Paul, there are still people out there whom God has chosen who need to be saved. They need to hear this gospel. God hasn't finished yet, and neither have I. I might be sitting here facing death, but until that comes, I still have work to do. I'm sure you'll recognise this picture. I think it's a great picture. Maybe we can't have a better picture. Here's our late queen. Maybe she died of, we're told, old age. She dedicated her life to the role that she'd been given, not chosen. In fact, if her uncle hadn't abdicated, she wouldn't have been queen. Well, probably not. And there she is, 2 days before she died, still doing what she had to do as queen, waiting to appoint a new prime minister. You see, queens don't retire. 2 days before she died, she's at work. And Paul is in this letter is encouraging Timothy, and therefore us as well, to keep going. You see, there's no retirement for queens. I'm telling you now, there's no retirement for Christians. You are a Christian with a job to do until the day we die. Yes, we might be restricted in what we can do now. Maybe we can't do the things that we used to be able to do. Maybe because of our health, because of our physical infirmities, there may be things that we can't do that we used to do. But that didn't stop, these chains didn't stop Paul. We can't allow other things to hinder us. God has still got work for us to do. Later in the letter, by the way, Paul asks Timothy, if he can, to come and visit him. And when he does, to bring Paul's cloak and parchments. You see, Paul doesn't know how much time he's got left, but he still intends to keep working, especially writing. And then in this chapter, Paul includes what we think must have been an early Christian hymn. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. Now there's a hymn of both hope and of warning. Note again, that once again, the theme of enduring comes in. But the words of a great hope, if we're faithless, then he will remain faithful. See, those who deny Jesus will be judged forever. But all believers, although they sin, God will pardon, rescue, and keep. And then the final section of this chapter goes on and deals with the false teachers who Timothy has to deal with. And I'm just going to look quickly at that, because there's probably a couple of sermons themselves in this second part of the chapter. Timothy has to deal with these false teachers that have come on. He mentions two of them, Hymenaeus and Philetus. We don't know quite who they were, but they had departed from the truth. They departed from the gospel that Paul had preached. So what is Timothy to do? Well, verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, who worker, who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. What are we to do when we're surrounded by false teaching? What are we to do when we see the church, sometimes church leaders, going off away from the gospel? We're keep close to God, and we're to stick to the truth, stick to God's word. So often nowadays people think that the Bible needs to be interpreted in the light of modern society. No, it doesn't. God's word is God's word. God's word is eternal. God's word stands forever. And Paul is saying to Timothy, stick to God's word. and goes on in verse 21. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. You see, be ready, whoever you are, to be useful to the master and do anything good that he gives you to do. It doesn't matter whether you're made of gold or silver or wood or clay. It doesn't matter whether what he calls you to do is something very important or something very unimportant in your eyes. To God, if he's called you to do it, it's important, and we're to do it. Be ready to be useful to God. And then in verse 22, flee from the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Keep close to God, stick to God's word, be ready to serve. Serve the Lord, call on the Lord from a pure heart. That's what we're to do. Stick close to God and call on him out of a pure heart. We're to keep our hearts as pure as we can. And don't be drawn into arguments. Ooh. That's a good one for all churches. I was just saying to somebody before the service, Union, we've just got rid of our organ. That's not been universally accepted. Don't get drawn into stupid arguments. How easily, particularly in churches, little things come in. Things that we all know really aren't that important. But somehow they turn into things that are important. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone. And then another very important point here. Don't give up on those people who might disagree with us. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil. You see, what Paul's saying is, don't give up on them, because God hasn't. God still loves them. Maybe we find that difficult to hear sometimes with the people that we might disagree with, people we see doing things. Sometimes just stop and think, God loves President Putin. We might find that very difficult, but God loves him. God loves all those, even those who oppose the church. God hasn't given up on them. You see, we're back to this story about the fact that we're fighting not against those people, but we're fighting against the evil one, who Paul says has entrapped them. They will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil. You see, what we're doing is dealing with the fight against the devil, not against those people. Look, says Paul, yes, it will cost, because gospel service is costly. But stick at it. We are to persevere, like he said to Timothy, sticking to the gospel as Christ has taught us. We are to pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. May God help us to do those things in our lives this week. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, when we come to your word, there is so much that it has to teach us. And in this letter that was written by your servant Paul to Timothy. We see so much that we can think about that applies to us in our lives today. We pray that as we think about these words that we have read and looked at today, you will speak to each and every one of us. You will encourage us to persevere, to keep going, to know that you've still got things for us to do. We are to continue to serve you, to follow your word, and to love those who you have called us to go to. Even though perhaps sometimes they reject us, they might not want to know anything about the gospel that we want to proclaim. But you love them and you haven't given up on them. And we are to persevere. We thank you for the example that was set by our late Queen. How she served you to the end. And Father, we pray that that will be an inspiration to us as we set about our gospel service. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.